May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I have good news and bad news, which is that my best friend is learning how to play the banjo. So what this means is that lately there has been a lot of banjo music in my life, and that every party or gathering of friends turns into a sing-along, and we've all learned to stop worrying and love the banjo. So every time our friends are together, the banjo comes out, and then I get out my guitar, Heather plays the jug. And the last time this happened at our house, somebody asked for the song Cats in the Cradle, which is a Harry Chapin song you might know, about a father who's always too busy for his son. Then one day he realizes his son has grown up and is too busy for him. And another of our friends was there with his infant son on his lap. And with perfect comic timing, he stood up and shoved the baby at his wife and said, "Well, I'd love to hear the song, but I got to get back to work." And we all laughed. But that was weeks ago, and I'm still thinking about it. That joke was funny because it hit so close to home. We all know what it feels like to promise the people we love that we will have time for them. Just not today. We have too many things to do. And in the gospel we just heard, the Pharisees ask Jesus a question about money. And so he answers in kind. But if we're doing stewardship right, and I don't mean stewardship season or a stewardship drive, but stewardship as part of our entire lives of faith, we know that money is just one of the abundant resources that we have the privilege and the responsibility to steward. The catchphrase of stewardship season is always time, talent, and treasure. And I do find that useful. But we all know that at church we hear these words most often during pledge season, when what we're really focused on is the treasure part. And so it can be easy to hear this list like a hierarchy, an ascending order of importance, not only in church, but in our work and family lives, so that what matters the most is treasure. And after that, we can think about our talents. And then trailing in the dust is time. And I'm not knocking treasure at all, because we know that our money, if we use it well, can be such a powerful force for good. Money provides for the things we need, our food and shelter, and the things that add meaning to our lives, for art and adventure and fun. And in a place like St. Andrew's, money nurtures our formation and our worship. And if we use it generously, as we try to do here through outreach, our financial resources can provide all of those gifts for other people too. When Jesus gives the Pharisees this very famous lecture, which I think is better known as "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's," he is telling them that what they do with their money matters. And we know that already, that an ethical approach to money, how we earn it, how we spend it, how we share it, is enormously important to God. We may not like it, but we know. But as followers of Jesus, we're called to model ourselves not on the Pharisees, but on the disciples. And we know that they were asked to give much more to God than money alone. Jesus demanded that they lay down their entire lives for him, and somehow they did. They were ordinary people, but they did. They sold everything they had and gave up their treasure. They spread the good news by using their talents. But most of all, what they gave to Jesus was their time. And I wonder what it would look like for us to think about time in the same way Jesus tells us to think about money. Not only because, as with money, it can feel like we never have enough of it, but also because what we do with our time, with our hours and our days, it matters to God. And it's so easy to spend our time on things that don't really matter or that we don't really love. The pastor Bruce Epperly wrote a wonderful piece called Making Friends with Time. And in it, he says our natural impulse around time is to try to control it and jam as much as we can into it and make it work for us. But in the end, he says, this is kind of a futile endeavor. In his words, time is a profoundly theological issue. Many people attempt to manage time, but it is ultimately unmanageable. It is chaotic and novel and emerging, and it is always beyond our grasp. So we can try to control time, just like we can try to control God. But maybe we shouldn't be surprised if we don't get very far. And it's tempting to think of time as an enemy, as the one barrier between us and everything we want to do, or as some kind of dangerous animal we need to lasso and subdue. But there is another way. When we decide to change the way that we relate to time and try to make it our friend, we can begin from a place of reflection, thinking about priorities, what is most important to you, and living a life that is fulfilling to you and pleasing to God. And is your answer to that different than it was 5 or 10 or 30 years ago? Most of us find that what matters most stays constant, but the way that we devote ourselves to those things changes with every season of life. And that's not a bad thing. And the counterpoint, what is least important to you? How many of us spend our work days sitting in meetings or answering email? Or spend our leisure time watching TV or staring at the screens of our phones? And are these our passions in life? So Epperly says, consider how you spend your days, which of course is how you spend your life. And then ask gently, how does your use of time line up with them? And he says, don't beat yourself up if you find that your use of time is not aligning too well with your priorities in life, because it's a slow journey realigning and making a friend of time. For me, that effort to make a friend of time has looked like less time in front of screens, more time putting up with the banjo, more time on the phone with relatives who live far away, and less time agonizing about how I should call them, but not today. I don't have time. So, remembering what Jesus tells us about how we are called to steward our most important resources, render unto your work the time that belongs to your work, unto your family what belongs rightly to your family, and of course to God what belongs to God. Because again, as Bruce Epperly reminds us, when God made time, God made enough of it. Amen.
Amen.